We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Oh, hi there! Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that distract me from how miserable I am. It's Nerd Talk Plus! I'm Gregor. He's been a managing editor at Audacy, and now just a guy who needs tons of lotion. He's the skin squatch.
You know what? No. I feel like,
and he's all the way on the East Coast. And, I'm just kidding.
Lotion's good, you guys. Are you guys regular lotion wearers? Users? Wearers? Oh, do you wear lotion? You use lotion.
Well,
you don't wear lotion.
In one
it depends
zone,
on how much
yes,
you put
but
on.
The
I
rest
guess.
Of it, yeah, yeah. It's kind of.
I definitely
specific.
Massage it deep into myself on a daily basis. Sometimes more than once.
The lotion is not on me. It is in me.
It is within me. The lotion is a part of me.
And he's full of lotion all the way on the East Coast. Watch out for the manatees. Maybe he'll lotion one of them up. He's Siege, hi.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How often have you pet a manatee before in your life?
Oh, man. Like, surfing out here, like, right on the East Coast, between October and February, they go up and down the coast. So, like, you'll be out in the lineup, and they'll be traveling just, like, kind of right past you. And the young ones are especially curious. So if they see you out there on like a surfboard, they'll come up and just like start knocking you off of it to try and play with you. It's ridiculous. It's pretty fun.
Now they go up and down the coast. Can you ride them?
I mean, we're not really supposed to touch them at all because they're super endangered. Because people love to come on through here in their cigarette boats and just plow over whatever and whoever's in the way. But I mean, they're pretty playful and they'll come up and like nudge you and stroke up against you. They're like baby elephants. They just want to play.
Like that time Michael complained about hitting a speed bump on the freeway. It's like what these cigarette boats are.
Yes.
Florida is both, it is an enigma because in so many ways it sounds incredibly terrible. And then other ways you're like just freely interacting with like nature. Where like
you should see the birds, dude.
Well, this is the thing. It's crazy. Like we live in a beautiful place. I live in the Pacific Northwest, where there are just like where I live. There's just turkeys crossing the street through my neighborhood, like in packs of turkeys. And it's not like oh, let's playfully nudge the car. They just stop in the middle of the road and flip you off.
And Gregor would stop and tell them a story.
It's it's ridiculous. Well, and like so our animals are like deer and moose and marmots, and you're not walking. They're not like playfully nudging you. They're either running away from you or charging you or killing you. And I mean, I know that there's death animals in Florida as well. Like you've got sharks and Siege. But
yes,
but like. I just like freely interacting with a manatee just sounds incredible and like something that I'll never experience.
Well, then come to Florida. Gregor's been here.
You don't understand. It's whatever you have in the Pacific Northwest feels like time appropriate. You're like, oh, bears and things that eat berries and rodents and things with fur and they stay alive and they're meant to be here. You go to Florida and it's just dinosaurs everywhere. It's ridiculous, dude.
Listen,
it's like,
we have bears, too.
Not that kind, Siege.
Oh, wait. You mean not in the hot tub?
But you don't get it, man. There's just like flamingo-type birds. They're not flamingos. They're just some other dinosaur thing that are just standing around with their long legs, taking the weird big steps and stuff. They're looking like it's ridiculous. You just turn around a corner and you're like, that's a dinosaur. And then like there's an alligator, another dinosaur. They're everywhere. It's messed up, dude. Florida's, like you say, it's an enigma, but it's one of those things where thanks to Siege specifically, like I go to Florida and I just spend 10 days and you just got to immediately be like, eh, Florida. And if you can just accept what's going on with that type of shoulder shrug, it's the best. It's
you
so,
just have to
I mean,
acclimate.
You know,
yeah.
Taking away the rights from the people of color and the women, like That's not great. That part's pretty bad. But the part where you're just like, I'm just going to change five lanes right now, and I'm not even going to look. Just good luck, everybody. It's awesome.
Like
he's
in
talking
some
about
ways,
me when we were chasing down popcorn chicken, or popcorn shrimp,
popcorn shrimp, please.
But that's the thing in Florida. There is no difference between popcorn chicken and popcorn shrimp because when most people travel to the East Coast, they have to deal with time change. When you travel to Florida, you have to deal with like a paradigm change, like your entire world and like scope of reality shifts.
It's time travel change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, anyway. All right, well, none of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but we do have a few science-minded people that listen, so when we get something right, I'm just changing it to when we get something right, please holler at us. Shout-outs to Mr. Phillips, a school teacher in the middle of America, who told me that after listening to Nerd Talk Plus, he like sent me some stuff about singing in a metal band, nice. And then he started listening to a metal band that I recommended called The Ocean. Everyone should listen to the album Pelagial. It's freaking fantastic, but that he listened to that. So Mr. Phillips, you're the best. His name's Jake. He's a big Modest Mouse fan. He's been up to Seattle several times and seen them and stuff, and he's just a great dude, and he's teaching the next generation of nerds to be nerds, so thank you. Siege, checking out the stats, whatever you call them, do we have any new reviews?
We have one new review, and it's actually very recent. This is actually from, let me pronounce this correctly, Anus Anonymous. It is 5 stars. Thank you, Anus Anonymous. So
five brown stars.
Yeah, if you do send us reviews, 5 stars, please. Apple Podcasts is where I can get them the easiest, but people have been sending me screenshots through nerdtalkplus.com to find all of our socials, and they've been sending me screenshots of ones that they've been using on other platforms because apparently they can review them there, but we can't get access to them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, helpful. And Odyssey, please put a review system and a star system on the always free Odyssey app where you can find us wherever.
It's just only 5 stars. That's all you can give everything on there?
Yes, please. Just only 5 stars for us. Anyway, this one's from Anus Anonymous, 5 stars. The secret track on this week's podcast had me howling. Siege Burning Alive was as funny as I could imagine. This podcast is the most entertaining podcast in the world and should be listened to by everyone in the world because it will save the world and probably even space unless I have any say in the matter. That's it.
Wait, so, wait, is that a threat that if we try to save the world, they're going to stop it from happening? Is that what the...
I mean...
They just recognized that if there was any attempt at us trying to save the world, that it would immediately backfire. So they're like, we have to stop this because they're going to do more harm than good.
Are we Bill, Ted, and Rufus in one?
The only way that we can save the world, you guys don't understand, we have to jerk off the whales.
It's true. It's true.
They're like, we should probably stop that, right?
As Siege alluded to, hit us up on nerdtalkplus.com for all the different ways that you can find the three of us individually, the podcast in different places, and just to find out more. We stream every Tuesday at 10 a.m. On the Odyssey app as well, so thank you. We're recording a little early this time, and by early I mean it's Nerd Talk Plus late night.
Because
I just got done fighting with a six-year-old, and now I'm drinking, and Brandon's drinking, and Siege is probably drinking coffee, because why wouldn't you?
I mean, that's what I do. In this fight with this six-year-old, did you win?
Of course not.
There's no winning.
No, it's not. There's no winning. Yeah, it's terrible.
You just, like, what I learned tonight with my two-year-old is that you just wait for them to accidentally hurt themselves, and then they don't hate you anymore.
You get a really good grace period where they don't understand what pain and all that stuff is, and so they, like, fall down and they just cry because they're scared, but not because anything's actually wrong. And so we're just now getting to the age where he's starting to figure out that, like, when he literally axe kicked me in the nuts today, just like laying on the couch, just leg up and then heel into the groin was just like,
oh,
and
my God.
He like understood. He's like, oh, sorry about that. And I was like, yeah, dude, you can't, after I like recovered. And he's like, also, ice water. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Get me a drink.
You're like, for my nuts, please? Yes.
Well, luckily mine's 14 and is also a brown belt in jujitsu and also taekwondo. And so I just use him to defend me.
So when he kicks you in the nuts, it's on purpose.
Oh, no, it's absolutely on purpose. And it's there. I see the roundhouse coming from a mile away, and I usually fly about 7 yards back like,
Now, Siege, we'll start with you, I guess, this week. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. It's just been a roller coaster of good and bad and good and bad and good and bad. I'll just stick with the good, doing so much of that voiceover dubbing stuff. I am apparently the Christopher Walken of Polish sitcom, or not Polish sitcoms, Polish drama TV. So
is that not obvious? Fun. I thought everyone knew that. I've been describing you like that off the pod for years now. So,
oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
The Florida Christopher Walken of Poland.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's the good stuff. The bad stuff is, well, I need spinal surgery. So, oh. Yeah.
Well, hell.
Yeah, just leave that's that
a,
there.
That's a real bummer.
Adamantium.
It's all good, though.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, you guys want to know my bad news? I read a story about a woman on the internet. A 104-year-old woman dies before Guinness was able to confirm her as the oldest skydiver. The way that that headline is written makes it sound like she died while she was like the chute didn't open.
Yeah, so I read about this. I didn't realize that Guinness didn't get there in time, though, that she went skydiving and then died literally 3 days later or something like that, which is, you got to figure that the skydiving actually did kill her, right?
Yeah. What were they going to do, carbon date her? Like, I mean, don't we have like actual videos? Don't those guys wear GoPros on the helmet?
You know, in professional sports, they're like they'll be like this is the youngest ever signing in this professional league, and it'll usually be like, especially these days when children are becoming man children earlier and earlier.
Dominican baseball
Ready
players.
Yeah. They're being like, it'll be, oh, he beats next youngest player by 3 hours, you know, born on the same day 3 hours earlier. They'd be like,
16 years and 291 days old.
Sorry, Dorothy Hoffner. A whole different story. Turns out she was nude the whole time.
It was a shoot for Playboy.
She didn't think she needed a parachute.
Just imagine,
wearing her
boobs flopping around
suit
in the wind as they're
That's how you control the dive.
Yeah, did you guys read?
It looks like this too. It looks just like this.
That's what what was the book, The Da Vinci Code? Did you guys read that? Like that series, The Da Vinci Code.
Read.
Okay. Like one, I don't remember anything about it except for I remember like reading the book. Of all of the stuff in the book, the most incredulous thing that I remember was
Tom Hanks's hair.
No, the book, I obviously knew it was going to be Tom Hanks the whole time. but he survives a helicopter crash by like holding a tarp out, and they do the math that says it only needs to be 3 feet by 3 feet or whatever it was in order to like slow his fall enough. And I'm like, okay, Dorothy in her saggy skin could have easily turned into like a flying squirrel paragliding suit or something. If freaking Tom Hanks can do it, why can't Dorothy Hefner?
If only
Tommy
she was
freaking
nude.
Hanks.
Yeah.
Damn Hefners.
Well, speaking of the world's oldest skydiver dying, sad news for the world's oldest dog.
Allegedly oldest skydiver, for the record.
Thank you. The world's oldest dog is dead. Dang it, Bobby. The dog's name is Bobby, and it lived. Do you guys want to take a guess on how old it was? Unless you know, don't say.
104.
In dog years, not even close.
Dorothy, colloquially known as Bobby.
Bobby the dog.
I haven't read and I don't know. Can you tell me the breed of dog? Because then I want to make my guess. No, okay, fine. I'm going to say
know.
23.
31 years
old. No!
That dog That's is old so enough to be crazy. A millennial and still can't afford a house. Like, that is like...
Oh my
God. My dog didn't
God.
Call Brandon for any housing options in Spokane, Washington. 31 years old. Like, a 16-year-old dog, you're like, put that thing out of its misery already. Sorry for the swear. Damn it.
That's... That's like, you know, when you see old dogs and you secretly judge, and maybe sometimes not so secretly judge, the people who are letting those dogs continue to live, because you're like, if this dog was still in nature, it'd be dead by now. and you look at this lady Stacy, as I know her to be called, who lets her dogs live for the, until they shouldn't be, and then they die of natural causes or drowning in a pool because they're too old to get out. Right?
God, dude, it got dark.
It's like how like I'm just picturing. I don't even want to see a picture of this dog at 31 years old.
Talk at night.
I don't want to see a picture of this dog at 31 years old. But I feel like we all know exactly what it like in your head. If you just try to imagine a 31 year old dog right now, we're all picturing the same exact thing. I guarantee it.
But yet, it's all rickety hips. Of a 104 year old skydiver.
Yeah, wait, what? He was older than Dorothy. Now, what's 31 in dog years?
Whoa.
Yeah, 210. Now, here's the thing, is it definitely died skydiving, so it's appropriate. So. A 31-year-old dog in Portugal had been ranked as the world's oldest dog ever, has died, his owner said Monday. The guard dog, okay, called Bobby, yeah, right. Dang it, Bobby, died over the weekend in a veterinary hospital, Lionel Costa told the Associated Press. Bobby lived on a farm in the village of some word I can't pronounce in Portugal with Costa and four cats. He was born May 11th, 1992, older than Billie Eilish by a decade.
Oh my God.
When his owner was just 8 years old. That's wild, dude.
You guys
like 40 now.
Google the picture of the dog because it is not at all what I was expecting. Like, with the thing that we all pictured was completely wrong.
Yeah, it's just like a dog, man. It's okay.
Just a dog.
Holy crap.
He just looks fine.
This dog looks like...
He also looks like he was maybe just a stuffed dog that they pretended like... did they like weakened at Bobby's this dog?
I was looking at the bronze statue and I was like, this dog has got some hair. Like, so regal.
Like every time they brought Guinness around, they just had like they put sunglasses on it and two kids ran around with it and were like, oh, woof woof, I guess.
Waving its paws.
It has a shot collar on it, they zap it so it like spazzes out a little bit. Like,
weekend
hey,
at Bobby's.
Dang it, Bobby,
oh
settle down.
Weekend at Bobby's too. Gets enchanted by himself. Oh no, that's such a crazy name for an old dog. The oldest dog I know is actually 22 years old, and I used to see him walking around with his old ass owner around the block, and his name is Billy. Also, so what's with those simple? Maybe it was a different time back in the 90s.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
You guys, Now that Bobby's dead, who's the world's oldest dog?
Man, we're gonna
something
have to...
that we may never know.
Get on it, Guinness. Get back to us.
I think this is also like the world's oldest dog that we know about. You know, like there's, and I'm not like insinuating like some conspiracy theory that there's a secret cabal of dogs out there that are secretly like sucking the blood of puppies in order to live longer.
There's probably an Aboriginal tribe deep in the jungles of Brazil that's probably got dogs that are hundreds of thousands of years old.
Exactly.
I think those are called dragons.
Yeah, probably. Sorry.
Well, Brandon, you make an interesting segue opportunity for me here because we here at Nerd Talk, I think I speak for all of us that we're all for blood donations. I think that's a good thing to do for the community.
Bloodfest Northwest.
To keep our dogs
alive.
I do have some,
Bloodfest Northwest forever. I do have some reservations about this incentivizer to get people to donate. The computer game company, Blizzard, they're promoting Diablo 4's newest content. It's called Season of Blood, saying that if gamers donate a total of 666 quarts of the red stuff, that they will then raffle off a custom Diablo PC infused with real human blood.
Do you have to do that all at one time?
No, I don't. I think we don't have that much. I think we have 8 pints in our bodies or whatever. But once they meet the goal of collectively everyone getting to that, which seems easy for as amount of Diablo 4 players that there are, to give away to get give up that much, that they'll
Does
give away.
Does it have
a
to be
computer.
My blood?
I assume yes, but it's Florida where you're at.
If you
so
can
who
come
knows?
Up, if you can come up with 666 quarts of blood. We won't ask questions.
Oil drum within an hour. I know a couple people.
I just like—is there going to be a like a bunch of nerds who want this thing so badly that they all just like get into a circle and just start bleeding themselves into a I don't know, Diablo's headquarters or what, Blizzard's headquarters. Also, like, doesn't a Blizzard sound so good right now, you guys?
Yo.
Oh, dude.
Like a blood Blizzard?
Also, does a vampire Blizzard have blood in it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Gotta be. Okay. Like blood pudding. Frozen blood pudding.
Now, blood if a vampire pudding. Got this computer that had the blood running through it, do you think they could stop themselves from draining it like a big gulp or whatever? Like, do you think that they would be able to keep it running, or would you have to be smart enough to be a vampire and not try to win?
If my computer, if my computer ran on Mountain Dew, my computer would not be a computer for very long.
if I was a vampire and I was able to collect 666 quarts of blood to donate. Wait, I keep forgetting I don't have to collect it and like bring it to the office. I have to just like donate it out of my arm. But if I was able to collect 666 quarts of blood to donate and I couldn't withhold myself from that one little bit in the computer, man, I'd have a problem. I'd have to go to Vampires Anonymous.
We have to be clear. It doesn't have to be 666 quarts from one person. It just has to be from everyone collectively. The vampire could just show up the Tuesday after it's all collected and enter to win. It's not like it's a... There's no requirement that you show up as a vampire with, like, a giant backpack full of blood and be like,
I don't know. I don't have the fine print in front of me.
I wonder if the fine print says you can't do that. That's the question.
Damn you, Blizzard.
Yeah, like, the thing about this kind of stuff is like, I love the fact that they're encouraging people to donate blood. I think donating blood is super important. I love that they're finding like creative ways to tie that in with their product and tie that in with this giveaway that they want to do. They're just like giving the far right conspiracy theory fundamentalists like so much ammunition that is just like so... on its face going to be absolutely like, I could already, like, I don't even need to go to the internet to know what every single like conspiracy theorist is saying. Like, see what they're doing? Do you see?
It's true though.
They should do it with Satan though. Instead, they should be like, what could you do? Like something sacrilegious, do 666 acts of sacrilege and then you could be entered to win a computer. That's the way to go. Or a job in Hollywood. That would make them mad, I think.
I mean, the game is named Diablo. Yeah. You should be doing satanic stuff.
Donate a total of 666 quarts of blood to Tom Cruise. Wait, sorry, just 600. They took that part out.
To P.O. Box.
P.O. Box 666.
Do you guys know your blood type?
Yes.
Oh, man. I do. I have it in my phone. That's the only way I know anything anymore.
Yeah, including reviews of the show, which you can leave right now at Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Tell us your blood type and we won't come collect some of it.
For Tom Cruise. I mean,
win this game.
Tom Hanks. I mean,
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
We've been focusing on the wrong Tom.
It's never the one you suspect.
He did survive COVID before anyone.
What if Tom Cruise was a Weekend at Bernie's for Tom Hanks? Like, what if he's just been using Tom Cruise as a vessel to get people off his scent, off his satanic blood lust scent?
Freaking
this is definitely what
Tom
happened, for
Hanks.
Sure. You heard it here first. This is fact. Science fact right now. Tom Hanks, soul possessor.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is a parasite.
Yeah, using Tom Cruise as a vessel. What other Toms? Tom Hardy? He's
got to have another generation.
He's got his tendrils out into all of the Toms. They are just one Tom.
He was
baseball
Venom.
Player Frank Thomas.
Oh my God!
Technically a Tom.
Yeah. See, I'm B negative for the record, whatever that means. But I have a rare blood type, and they always ask me to donate. But I also am now a mutant, so I'm no longer. They'll use my blood if I donate it for like research purposes, but I can't actually help save anybody directly. So cool. Do you know about this, Brandon, that I'm a mutant?
No. What are you...
Did we talk about this last week, Siege?
What sick mutation do you have?
I can't remember what it's called. I should know, but it increases my odds of getting a blood clot eightfold.
Oh.
And I have a blood clot right now. And so they did $2,200 worth of blood tests on me. And they're like, yeah.
X-Men power in the world.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm like, if I give you enough of my blood, you might get a clot too, loser. How did Magneto die? Pulmonary embolism? It was... No one saw that coming.
Except for Gergatron.
So...
I'm O negative, which means I can give blood to anybody.
You're the universal donor, right?
I'm the universal donor. Yeah, and then it took. I didn't know for the longest time that O positives existed. Like that was another blood type. I mean, it makes sense logically. I just never put that together. And I was like, oh, O positive, cool. And then they're the universal receiver. They can get anybody's blood.
So, like, if they're in a circle jerk of blood, everyone, they're just hitting the face from everyone?
They're just like, yes, yes.
Yes.
I wish you could see the face Brandon just made. Brandon's blood bukkake face is incredible. Also, Blood Bukkake is an awesome album name.
Blood Cocky at Bloodfest Northwest next year during the Rubik's Cube tournament.
Anus Anonymous with the new album Bloody Blood Bukkake.
Hey, so how old are the kids in the class that you're playing this episode tomorrow?
Nerd Talk at Night for teens.
Yeah, we said this is Nerd Talk at Night. Okay,
oh, perfect.
Yeah. There's been a forewarning.
Well, we'll definitely put this in the preamble or whatever. Yeah,
Watch out. Yeah, talk about beating children.
I'm not. My instinct to make a joke upon that is actually going to be stopped, and I'm just going to let that live.
Oh, so we finally found the line he won't cross.
Yeah, for real.
Only on tape. Only on tape.
This episode.
It'll be in the group chat later.
So I have a doctor's appointment to find out that I'm a mutant, right? I'm sorry for everyone that's heard this, but I'm just talking to Brandon at this point now because you know that's how this goes.
This is what we do.
And I was talking to the doctor about it. I was like, so what does this mean? Like, can I, like, I do karate. Is that, like, a thing? And he was like, no, you can't do martial arts. What are you talking about? And I was like, what? And he was like, hey, you got to be on blood thinners for the rest of your life. You get kicked in the spleen and you just die, dude. Like, you know, like, when you get hit in the chest and stuff like that, that's like, if your spleen gets injured, like, you're effed. So how about you don't do karate? And I was like, yeah.
So when your kid kicked you in the nuts, you were like, he said spleen.
Please, next time, aim for the spleen. I'm trying to make this easy on everybody. God.
He's like, sorry, I thought you said peen.
Peen.
Yeah, so like I hit my head on the cabinet door like almost 4 weeks ago now, and I still have a sense like hurts to touch spot on my head. And he was like, yeah. Imagine if that was like your organs. And I was like, well, my brain. He's like, you're obviously fine. And I was like, okay, fine. The good news is I can still get tattoos.
Oh, nice.
So that Stussy S is coming, dude.
Does, yes. Is drinking okay? I mean, you're drinking right now, but is it okay?
They told me one drink a day, and I was like, I'll be the judge.
Yeah. I mean, at least this gives you like a cool way of, look, I'm sure you were very good at martial arts, Gregor. This gives you a cool way of like exiting, like Irish goodbying martial arts, you know?
So
like, you just get to retire medically.
I'm a first degree brown belt, and I'm going to get a medical discharge from karate. Yeah. But I'm literally.
Turn in your badge and belt, sir.
I'm literally between 1 and 4 months away from my black belt. And so it's like, what do I, like.
I mean, avoid getting kicked in the spleen for 1 to 4 months?
So I'm going to meet with the head guy who's a listener of the station.
Yeah.
And
maybe
like,
if he was any good at karate.
Help me help you.
Yeah.
Help me figure out a way that I can still test for this and also not put myself in danger. And what I'm hoping he'll say is, you put in enough work, like, congratulations, here's your thing, and we'll let you retire. And I don't need to prove to myself that I worked hard for 8 years to, like, learn all the knowledge. I have all the knowledge and stuff. I do want the belt because I want something to like, symbolically show for it, but it doesn't cheapen it for me if they just give it to me. And if they let me test for it and I have to just do, like, only aerobic stuff the whole time, then I'm screwed because I'm in horrible shape. But like, I can get in 3 months, I can get myself fit enough to be able to handle a few hour test. So,
dude, if it's a bummer though. If I ever get famous or important enough that that what like some university is like an honorary doctorate to Brandon Griffith for blah blah blah, yeah. I'm absolutely taking that, and I'm for sure calling myself a doctor to everybody that ever asks.
100%.
So if, you have to. So you, it does not, it absolutely does not cheapen your black belt, because that's incredible if they give you a black belt.
I call myself a doctor now.
I have tried to do a segment called Dr. Greger, so I feel like I call myself a doctor now too. So.
Well, okay, but this brings me to my next question.
Of the week.
If they can't get somebody out there to confirm your black beltiness, do you, like, is there a world record for like thinnest blood? Like, could we do a
Yo, let's submit. Oh, wait, I'll fill out paperwork.
Does the fact that they put you on blood thinners mean that you just had thick blood to begin with?
That's clotting up.
Not the only
blood.
Place I'm thick. Also,
right.
My gut.
Extra thick and meaty.
I just like thick blood sounds like a royal, probably a Royal Blood cover band.
It's like the sequel to Blood Bukkake.
Yeah.
I used to have KC Masterpiece flowing through these veins.
I went to Ezel's the other day and they were filling up the to go containers of barbecue sauce, yes, and it was just God. Sweet Baby Ray's. They were just transferring it from one thing to the other. And I was like, how dare you? First of all, awesome. But secondly, how dare you trick me into thinking this is like the Ezel special sauce when it's basically just like Heinz ketchup. Like, there you go. Jerks. So.
God, I love Ezel's.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, in a world first, scientists were able to transfer memory loss due to Alzheimer's. Again, they're transferring it out of an Alzheimer's patient, a sad brain, into a healthy one. And my first question is, why would you do that? Well, first let's talk about how. They took poop samples from sick patients, and then they put them in healthy rats, like little rodents, via the, you know, escape tube. Again, why would you do that? Yeah.
The right butthole?
Anus Anonymous?
So they're trying to understand how your gut health impacts your overall health. That's like the why here. And something that I learned years ago from doing conversations, interviews with gut health people, whatever, there are more bacteria in your intestines than cells that make up your body, which is wild to think about.
That's crazy.
I would say, well, don't you include the cells in your intestines as part of your body? They don't like exist independently. Like, it's not, all right. Well, anyways, we have like almost no knowledge of how those bacteria work. And so they're trying to figure out ways to, like, if we can transfer it from one person to another, and we can better understand what it is that's being transferred, then we can hopefully turn it around via better gut health is the goal here.
Poop.
And I'm like, listen, all of this sounds gross, but if you can do it using like pizza and burritos and booze and stuff like that, I'm all in.
Well, it sounds like the problem is that they have to go in your butt. So they're like, yeah. you get to enjoy this pizza rectally. Rectoroni.
I did not. I'll have a large double cheese and rectoroni pizza, please.
Special tonight is the burrito. Extra red sauce.
Beat that so we don't get in trouble with the sponsor.
Oops, sorry. <okay. yeah. laughs>
I mean, like, is this the science that was happening behind Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, right? They were like, let's put some human poop into some rats and then take that rat poop and put it in a human and that'll make him forget stuff.
I don't think you're getting the point. I think you need to eat more rectoroni.
It's
If you eat rat it's poop, crazy. You forget things, and then somebody else remembers
also,
them.
No.
We could transfer rat memories. That's the dude. That's the plot of Ratatouille. We just figured it out. It turned out it was just
the rat ate
a chef poop.
No wait, and the rat ate the dude's poop.
That guy ate the rat poop that had the chef's poop in it. Yeah,
and then exactly. They mind melded.
No, okay. This serious. One of the first things I learned when when I started taking antidepressants is that you're one of like the areas that it can really help is with the serotonin levels specifically in your gut. And so often, like what I don't.
Ooh, that was a happy poop.
It was. No, it was a happy poop. I went from like having some like not any consistency to. Knowing what food would make me sick or not. Like sometimes I'd have good food and sometimes like I would eat super healthy and it would make me sick, or I would eat really crappy and it would make me really crappy. And instead, like as soon as I started taking antidepressants, all that went away. So it's crazy the amount of connection that there is between like mind and gut health, right? And so like putting rat poop in it doesn't seem like the solution, but
just start cramming it up there.
Like, I mean, everybody knows that sometimes a really good poop can change your day.
Not everyone. I mean, and, my 6-year old doesn't get it.
Not everyone.
That guy craps his pants all the time, and I'm like, dude, just go poop. You'll feel great. And then he does, and he's like,
maybe that's how he gets his dopamine rush. He's just like, he's having a wonderful day. I mean,
I want to enjoy this longer.
I don't know how many studies there are. I don't know how many studies there are like about like the probiotics and the prebiotics and stuff like that, but everybody sells them talking about like gut flora and everything and how it the intestinal system is connected to the mind. And I mean, I've seen like actual studies on that stuff that I mean I couldn't pull up if I tried to, but I mean, taking a whole bunch of that stuff, I mean, yeah, I've had some better days.
I interviewed, like, the holy grail person of gut health.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Probiotics. Natasha Trenev is her name. I, like, remember her name. It's crazy because she was, like, she had, like, no patience for any of this stuff because all she wanted to do was, like, rattle off how important it is and how no one listens to her. It was awesome.
The queen of poop yogurt.
But it was to the point where the missus, I would be like, hey, I talked to literally the leading expert on this, and she says it has to be refrigerated if you want it to work. If you have one that's shelf, there's no such thing as shelf-stable probiotics that actually work. And she'd be like, well, my doctor said to use these ones or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but your doctor's not the authority on this. Like, do you want to talk to Natasha Trenev? Because you should hear her. Because
I got her.
Your doctor got their doctorate as an honorary doctorate from Central Washington University. This is a real doctor.
Yeah, her doctor did get is an MD, but it's also an MD. Like, so that a naturopathic, but she's an MD, so she can prescribe real drugs and everything. But it's
I can too.
Can I ask you guys like pad. A social. Social etiquette pooping question?
Yeah, I'm in. All in.
Okay. So today I was at the office and there's one bathroom for the men and one bathroom for the women. And because we're still in Spokane, so very backwards. And so I'm in the men's bathroom is a stall and a urinal. And so I go in, I've got to poop, and so I go into the stall. And I'm finishing.
Who left a mud monkey in the urinal?
Brandon not pooping in the urinal.
So I'm finishing my business, and I'm like getting ready to be done as my as another person comes in and starts using the urinal. And now, like
I hate this.
The social exactly. Like the social anxiety half of me was like, okay, I'm gonna stay in here until they're done, and then they wash their hands, and then they leave. And then and then I will finish and stand up and walk out and wash my hands and then leave. But then something came over me that was like, no, I think the power move is to stand up and walk out while they are also walking out, so they know who was in here and they know that I'm not scared of my own poop.
Your God.
And so that's what
you
I did.
Walk up behind him and give him a hug and like whisper, be like, I'm the boss, you bitch. bitch.
But like, it's it was actually the owner of my office. So it was
small,
very
small lick.
Yeah. But I opened the door like as I come out of the stall, and it like blocked him from going to be able to wash his hands. And so I was like, this became
you
way more
me,
of a power move than I intended it to be. Like, I will also wash my hands first. But like it's like the social this is like one of those unspoken social norms that we all learn that is like stay in the stall until everybody else is gone so nobody knows it was you committing the crime that you've just done.
Well, it's like be ashamed of your body and its
right.
function.
Right.
That's like the smallest version for you know, women just get body shamed constantly, and that's like the smallest, we get the smallest dose of it by being like, I don't feel good pooping.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Like it's our receptionist at work used to wear her reception thing into the bathroom, her like earpiece, and so the phone would ring and she'd be like dropping a deuce or whatever, and she'd be like, boop boop, thank you for calling Intercom Seattle.
I'm pooping.
And like I'm like, what are you? You could hear through the wall or whatever. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you can't answer. Just like, let it go to voicemail, lady. What are you doing? Like, I mean, whenever you call someone, if you like talk on the phone for a while and they walk into the bathroom, you know it. There's no hiding that.
Yeah.
The acoustics give
yeah.
it all away, especially in an office bathroom. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, you guys know where I stand on this just from simply the videos that I've sent you from rest stops. Where I'm just in there making noises like with my hand, just like fake fart noises, and then screaming bloody murder, just you know, trying to take the power back of the entire bathroom.
And then you walk out, and they're like, "Not as bad as I thought. I'm pleasantly surprised."
Yeah. There's no severed head in the bowl.
What memories is that guy trying to expel from his body?
I still have those videos. I'm going to release them as like a preview
Please
for this
do.
Episode.
That's wonderful. Well, NASA nerds have found a planet using the James Webb Space Telescope that is made, the clouds of it are made out of quartz. And I'm like, settle down, Property Brothers. By the time we get there and back, there's no way quartz countertops are still going to be in style. Maybe Brandon can chime in on that because I can't imagine that they'll still be cool in roughly 70 million years when we get back. And so like I was just thinking about it, like first of all, how does the James Webb Space Telescope know that there's clouds? How does it know that there's clouds made of quartz when it's literally 1600 light years away? And I did like some really simple calculations today, and I was like, I always do this whenever someone discovers something in a distant system, where I'm like, okay, our fastest craft, the Parker Solar Probe, could get there, can do one light year every 16 million years, and then it's 1600 years light years away, and or I forget, I'm off on the numbers here, but it's like something, or it's a 16,000 years to get there, and then it's 1600 light years away, so it became millions of years from now. You could get a probe there just to check it out and come back and be like, yep, quartz. And I think
definitely
by then the
quartz.
Dinosaurs would hopefully have come back. But you send a Parker Solar Probe to go check it out. Let's say it gets there and 30 million years later, it comes back. And it doesn't find quartz. I got a question.
It's time for America's favorite game show, Made It Worse! And here's your host, your friend,
Gregor.
Hey, everybody. Trying to talk on CG here. So my question for you gentlemen is, if we sent a probe and it went all the way there, and I'm not talking about finding nothing, but you find out that the clouds are made of something worse than quartz, which you expected, what would make it worse? Clouds made of what? Brandon.
Oh, man, there's so many different things.
If it came back and it was like, turns out that the clouds were rectal roni, it would be worse.
There's a give me a ding,
man.
There. Thank you. Siege?
Yeah, man. Well, definitely, I mean, if to follow along the same lines, definitely poo burritos, but, oh, man, I swear to God. I'm going to have to go with orca semen.
Better or worse?
I mean, that's a good question. Orca semen?
Oh
my God, that's an upset.
Harsh critics.
I'm sorry. Orca semen.
The
might
bigger
be
problem is that the James Webb telescope found absolutely no evidence of orcas on the planet. So it just turns out that we just have interstellar orcas that are so horny that they have they're like ashamed of it. So they travel intergalactically in order to jerk off in this planet where their semen turns to clouds.
It's their hedonism. Yeah. It's like for orcas. They do the star.
I think we found the ultimate.
It's orca
winner.
Rumspringa.
Oh my God, that's absolutely amazing. That's so crazy because when you were saying that about the quartz in the atmosphere and the James Webb telescope, that reminded me of an article that I sent you guys like forever ago, but I don't think any one of us read it. But it was the James Webb telescope found methane on a planet that was like in some far off galaxy or whatever. And they were equating it to only living things make methane. Mm-hmm. So there might be aliens on this planet that are just farting so much that the James Webb telescope can find it.
And then you find out it's queefs.
It's queefs. But yet there were no women there, so they were traveling intergalactically from another planet. It's like stepping outside of the door.
Just another ocean planet covered or underneath the coral queef.
Another ding for Brandon.
God damn it.
Well,
oh,
I'm sorry. Pretty good.
Yep.
Brandon, do you got a second? Can you open ChatGPT for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh. Do we need ChatGPT?
Can you ask ChatGPT if you can make cheese from orca milk, please?
I think, did we try this?
Oh.
I think, was that okay. The one that
you asked if you can make cheese out of orca semen?
I think this is how we found out.
Yeah, the throwback to our commenter, Brooker Bean, who asked us if there were any other semen-based milks.
I'm pretty sure that... gross.
It's so awesome that Brandon's only here half the time, so he has no idea about half the things we talk about. And so
ChatGPT is taking a really long time for me to be able to log in here. But if I remember correctly, the reason that we found out that like orca milk is not fatty enough, or sorry, orca milk, yeah, orca milk is like not fatty enough to make, or it's too fatty to make milk, but it can
cheese,
but it can make butter. That's where we came up with orca butter. Jeez. And I think ChatGPT was the one who enlightened us to that reality.
Okay. Well, yeah. We tried. Yeah, we do need some ChatGPT music. I think that'll be good. Maybe some robot sounds or something.
Here, hold on. Let me find
something. Okay, ChatGPT. I'm going to ask ChatGPT. Was the rat in Ratatouille transferring the memories from a long dead chef's poop to the brain of a busboy via his poop? No, that's not what happened in the
It's like you're remembering it wrong.
ChatGPT's like, shut up, you this ass.
This is the first line. I won't read the whole thing because he just... No, that's not what happened in the movie Ratatouille at all.
At all.
ChatGPT needs to make it so clear to me that it can't even withhold its disdain for the fact that I would suggest... the last paragraph, they say, there's no mention of transferring memories through feces or any similar concept in the movie. The story is a lighthearted and imaginative tale about the following of one's dreams and overcoming obstacles. That is not what it's about.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize ChatGPT was such a big Ratatouille fanboy. No, he would never do that. Linguini? Linguini would never do that.
Don't dare ask it about Star Wars, my God. Who knows?
Remy cares way too much about kitchen hygiene to ever consider even bringing his own feces into the kitchen.
Hey, ask ChatGPT how Darth Vader poops.
How does Darth Vader poop? That's a good question. How does Darth Vader
That's
poop?
That's a good question.
How did I get there, right?
Does he have to?
Okay, fair enough. Darth Vader is portrayed in the Star Wars universe as a fictional character, so there's no canonical information about his biological functions. However...
Bull- If He's we, a rogue. However, they showed me they hooked up to machines. Yeah, there's biological
if
function.
If we were to speculate based on common human anatomy, it's reasonable to assume that he would eliminate waste like any other humanoid. Yeah, thank you. Okay, in the movies, we don't see... This is the thing about ChatGPT, you guys. Like, most of the time, it's pretty straightforward. Like, there's no canonical information. Here's some facts. If we were to speculate, blah, blah, blah. Then it just throws in words sometimes, like, at all. It throws in words sometimes that make you think that, like, ChatGPT has an agenda. Like, in the movies, we don't see Vader engage in mundane activities like eating or using the restroom as the focus on his role as a powerful Sith Lord. Like,
well,
okay,
you don't see anyone.
I will decide if
like...
pooping is eating in mundane.
Yeah, you never see Lando coming out of the Millennium Falcon can being like, oh, got the vacuum hooked up just right.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT one more question. Is the reason that, yeah, you know what, Greg? You're absolutely right. We don't see enough pooping in movies. Is the reason that Darth Vader never takes off his helmet?
I'll fix that.
Because he actually has a force-sensitive rat in his helmet controlling
like Ratatouille.
His actions via the transfer of feces and memories. No, that is not the reason why Darth Vader never takes off his helmet. Okay.
Well, I don't know how to top all of this, but this is my new favorite segment. But it is time to go. I apologize to everybody because we're having a great time. But it is time to take a look back on this last 40-whatever minutes of fun and ask, what did we learn this week? After all, this is a very heady, very heady show. I'm sorry, I can't even say it. Siege, we'll start with you. What did you learn this week?
I learned that we can definitely share our thoughts without words and keep our consciousness alive via pepperoni in the butt.
Rectal roni. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
Okay. I learned that apparently Vader Tui is not what I thought it was.
The rat makes him poop. That's how he goes.
There is a rat. What ChatGPT didn't say is that there isn't a rat in his helmet. They just said that he's not force sensitive and he's not controlling his actions. He didn't say that there is a rat in his helmet that is solely responsible for making him go to the bathroom at appropriate times that are never seen in film.
It's Palpatine.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
This show is rated 5 brown stars. Nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for listening to Nerd Talk Plus. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, we go live. Well, not this Tuesday because we're recording it ahead of time because it's Nerd Talk Plus after dark.
After Nerd Talk dark. At night.
But Tuesdays at 10 a.m., you can listen on the Odyssey app. And then wherever you get your podcasts, also the Odyssey app, if that's good for you. And we love having everyone along, and it's been really fun, and it's nice to have Siege and Brandon both here at the same time. We got a skin squatch and a manatee surfer, and so it's good times. And so thanks for all your comments and everything. You can find us all at nerdtalkplus.com. Again, nerdtalkplus.com. Give us a follow. I wish there was a way to have our Instagram group that we have, the three of us, and then like people could just watch it but not participate. Like, I don't want other people to submit stuff because I don't want it to
pull. You're describing Discord.
I think we can.
Oh, channels on Instagram.
The channels.
Okay, before we sign off, can I leave everybody with a thought to ponder or something to look up until we see each other again?
Sure.
Wait.
If you're looking for something to do this week and you have a little bit of downtime and you want to learn something, turn off this podcast. no, continue listening. And as soon as you're done listening to this show, just go watch YouTube videos of walruses, you guys. That's it. You will be shocked and amazed at the variety of sounds that they can make. And on command. So, do with that information what you will.
I want to back that up. If you want to watch YouTube videos of animals making noises, you should check out manatees and their sex orgies. Because it's a real thing. People call the cops on them down here because they think they're fighting. I'm dead serious.
That's just what the manatees tell their little baby manatees. Mama and daddy manatee were just wrestling.
Guys.
Anyway, go watch some YouTube.
When I watch YouTube, it usually just shows me race car clips. So I don't know how we got so far off the same subject.
We're definitely starting a channels, and Brandon and I are going to abuse the links.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Love you, mean it. Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.